and welcome to our second Reaching for the Hem Tower class. I'm so glad that you are here with us, joining us either via the website or on the phone line. This is our second class, so as we're getting started out, actually, I know that there are some people, we had about 40 different people who signed up for the class since our last one, so I'll probably just do a little bit of a recap just so people know some of the things that we talked about last time, and then we'll go on with some of the other questions that I received that I didn't get a chance to get to during our last class. But as I said before in our last class, even if you don't hear your question this time, it doesn't mean that we're not going to get to your question. It's just that I've received over 100 different questions now, so I'm still going through the questions and praying over them and just asking God to guide me as I select the questions that He would have for us to discuss during our classes. But I'm so excited that you're here. You know, a lot of times, as I've said before, sometimes we don't give ourselves credit, and, you know, Satan just kind of beats us up and says, you know, you're not doing a good enough job, you're not a good Christian, you're not a good Christian. But we really have to praise God for the little steps that He is helping us to make. You know, it takes strength, and it takes dedication, and it takes commitment to show up on a Thursday evening and say, you know what, I'm going to take this time out for the Lord. And that's really a sign that He is working on your heart. And so I really praise God today that you are here, because that does mean that He's working in you and He's working on you, and He's giving you a desire in your heart to seek Him. And, you know, I don't think that any of us should take that lightly. I think we should all just glorify and praise Him for the little works that He is doing in us, you know, because those are the works that we can see right now. Sometimes He's always doing so many things that we can't see, and so we feel like He's not working in us, but it's those little things, it's those little miracles on a daily basis, and when we just stop it and praise Him and force ourselves to take notice, to slow down, you know, our world is just so busy and so fast-paced, but if we slow down and we really look at it, we can see all the marvelous small miracles that He's doing inside of each of us on a daily basis. And so I really praise God for that. You know, I was actually emailing back and forth with one of the sisters that I've been working with in the School of the Spirit, and just the changes that I've seen in her just over the last month. And I was just telling her it's just been a blessing for me to watch her as God has been growing her and ministering her and developing her. And, you know, a lot of times other people can see that in us more than we can see that in ourselves. And so I think sometimes we do really have to slow down and really look at ourselves. You know, that's one of the reasons that I love keeping a prayer journal and keeping a journal of the different things that God's doing in the different places that we are, because sometimes we forget the needs that we've had that God's filled, because they've been filled, and so we're no longer thinking about them. But when we've written them down and we've prayed over them, and we've poured our heart out to the Lord, maybe it's not even a physical need, but just an emotional need or a hunger or a longing, you've poured that out to the Lord. When you're able to go back and read that a year later and see, wow, you know, I had that hunger, and now I see how God has filled that hole that I have, and I didn't even realize He had filled it, but now that I stop and think about it, that pain that I had there is no longer there. So that's just something that was just on my heart to share. You know, we really do have to stop and just give Him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just have to stop and praise Him and worship Him for the work that He's doing in us. You know, the Bible says that He's always, that it's a progression. It's not something that happens instantaneously, but it's a progression over time. You are becoming His masterpiece. You are His workmanship, His handiwork. And so that shows us that it's a process. It's something that He's yet doing in us. And so we always have to remember that we are a work in progress. We're not a finished product. Hallelujah. We're a work in progress, and He's yet working on us. And so we have to praise Him and give Him glory for the work He's already done, even though we know that we're still a work in progress. So for those of you who are just joining us, I know a couple people are still trickling in because of, you know, different time things and different things that people are doing. So I know people are still trickling in, but I want to go ahead and just get started Before we start, if you haven't printed out our notes page, if you're actually looking at the webcast right now, there is a link on the webcast page to print out your notes page. So you can actually click that link there, and it'll allow you to print out your notes page if you haven't done that yet. If you're not somewhere where you can get to the computer and print out your notes page, of course you can always just grab a sheet of paper and an ink pen and just kind of take some notes as we go. You know, that's all, of course, the teacher in me coming out. You have to take notes as you're learning. It helps you to remember and helps your brain to process everything that you're learning better, and it gives you a chance to come back and study, and also it gives you a chance to write down the things that maybe I'm not even saying, but you can feel the Holy Spirit saying to you in different ways that you can apply things to your life. You know, go ahead and write those things down. Think about after the class is over, how can I apply this? What can I do? How can I make this a part of my daily life, you know, just the different things that we're going to talk about today. I want you to think of ways that you can apply them to your daily life. If you want to go back and print out the notes page later, you can go to notes.schoolofthespirit.org. And remember, School of the Spirit is hyphenated, so there's a hyphen between each word. But you would go to notes.schoolofthespirit.org, and that's actually your notes page, and you can print that out for this week as well. So before we get started, let's just go ahead and open with prayer. Lord, we glorify you and we praise you, Lord. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. And you know, sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day and we forget how worthy you are. We forget how capable you are of doing all of the things, of being all that we need, Lord. You know, sometimes we think we need more than we really do, and all we really need is a deep and abiding relationship with you. And so we ask you, Lord, that day by day that you would continue to work in us, to mold us and shape us and help us to become the people that you predestined us to be. You know, your word said that you called us and you predestined us. You know, before the foundations of the world, you knew that we were going to be, and you knew who you were going to make us into. And so, Lord, we surrender to you today, Lord. We surrender to you. As frightening as that word can sound, as concerned as many of us are in the back of our minds to surrender, Lord, just picking up this phone today, just pressing that play button today was an act of surrender. And so I thank you for that small act of surrender that each of your children have done today, Lord, that small act of saying, Lord, I'm your willing clay. Mold me with your word. Teach me through your spirit. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for your ability to teach us, to work with us, to speak to us. Hallelujah. Through your word and through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you would give me the words to say today, that they would not be my words, Lord, but that they would be your words, that they would speak to your children today, Lord, that they may be blessed, Lord, that you may be glorified, because it's about you, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about anyone else, Lord, but it's about you, and it's about you being glorified and your will being done on the earth. And so we thank you, Lord, that we know that you are with us right now, that you are even, that you transcend space and time, that you're sitting amongst each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And so even if we can't feel your presence, Lord, we just believe by faith that you're here with us. And so we thank you for that. We invite you in to have your way and to have your will done through this class today, Lord. So we thank you and we glorify you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, today we're actually going to be talking about something that is very close to my heart, because it's something that I feel that I know that I've been through in the past, and it seems like just through the questions that I was receiving that many people have gone through this. And it's this place where you feel like you just kind of get to this place in the Lord where you know that he wants you to go deeper, but you're just not quite sure how to get there. You just kind of feel like you run into this brick wall, and you know, you want to pray, but something inside of you, you know, when you just go to pray, you can't concentrate, and you just feel like things just aren't flowing, and you just feel disconnected, you know. And I believe that all of us have come to that place in the Lord where you just kind of feel disconnected. You feel like you want more of the Lord, and you know he's calling you to a deeper place, but somehow it's almost like you're grasping at straws. And so that's really what we're going to talk about in the majority of this class. It's just, you know, this class and our last class has been over how to live holy in an unholy world so that you can be a light in the darkness. And that's really just kind of the little name that I gave this two-part series here. But I believe that it's really a true name, because I believe that it is our responsibility that God has put us here so that we can be a light, so that we can guide other people to Him. But, you know, if we don't have any peace, how are we supposed to show the world to have peace? You know, those different things, the fruits of the Spirit, and we talked a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit in the last lesson, and we asked the question, whose fruits are you displaying? Are you displaying the world's fruits? Are you displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit? You know, the world's fruits are anger and loss and stress and fear. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and a sound mind and self-discipline and things like that. And so we asked ourselves, what fruit are you displaying? And one of the reasons that is so key is because it's by your fruit. You know, it's when the world looks at you and the world doesn't have any peace, but you have peace, and then all of a sudden they want to know what you know, and you're able to share the gospel with them. You know, that's what opens up those doors and those opportunities to be able to share Christ with other people, is when they can see Him in you, when they can see His joy when the world doesn't have joy, when they can see when they can see Him living through you. You know, many times, and I've had these experiences in my own life, many times we are the only, and I don't say this, you know, please take this in the right heart, but many times we're the only Jesus that someone is ever going to see, because we are His hands, we are His feet, and many times we are the only part of Him that someone's going to see. And if they don't see it through us, they'll never be able to see it through Him, because we're the ones that are leading them to Him. And so we are through Him, through us, He's able to express His love and his compassion for the world. But if we don't have that love, if instead of God's love, we're showing the world's anger, you know, those are just different things that a lot of times we don't think about, and we don't realize that the reason that we're showing the world's anger is because we haven't spent enough time with the Holy Spirit to begin to grow the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are not instantaneous. They're something that grow. They're things that grow over time, things that develop over time through you basking in the presence of the Holy Spirit, through you developing your relationship with the Lord. And so a lot of times we become frustrated because we don't have certain traits that we feel that we should have. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to have this trait and that trait, and why am I still having issues with lust? And why am I still having issues with anger or resentment? You know, I haven't been able to forgive this person. Why is that? And we don't realize that we're trying to do all of these things on our own power. And that's something else that we talked about in the last lesson. We talked about the fact that too often we put our faith in ourselves and our own power to keep us out of sin, and we put our faith in ourselves and our own power to help us walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and we find ourselves in this cycle. You know, we find ourselves either in a sin cycle or an anger cycle or a fear cycle, because we're trying to overcome the pattern on our own, when it's not us. It's not us that has the strength to do this. It's God. It's His Spirit working in us. It's Him working inside of us and changing us and growing us. But many times we want the fruit, but we don't want to have to do the labor that the fruit comes from. But we want the fruits of the Spirit. We want the peace. We want the joy, but we don't want to do the labor, which is spending time in the Word of God, which is spending time in the presence of God, which is spending time in prayer. You know, just all those different things that we know to do. Many times we don't want to do those things for whatever reason. You know, maybe we are short on time, or maybe, you know, we have those walls that we're going to talk about later on, and we just can't seem to break through them. You know, there are so many different reasons. But I really just want, you know, I wanted to just kind of quickly go over some of the things that we talked about last lesson, and those were really some of the main things that I really wanted to just bring back to everyone's remembrance, and also to throw out there for those of you who didn't miss it, who didn't get it and actually missed the lesson. Of course, you can still get that lesson, but I just wanted to give us a quick overview. One other thing that I wanted to say that we talked about last lesson as well, is that we were talking about sin and the issue of sin separating us from God. And I just wanted to just reiterate this, because this is something that I've received even more questions on, and so I know some of the people who were in the lesson last time, some of the people who asked this question weren't in the lesson last time. These are new questions, and this is coming up again, so I just wanted to mention this one more time. Remember that your sin, you know, when you make a mistake, all sin is missing the mark. It's making a mistake. It's being outside of God's perfect will, being outside of His perfect will for your life. That's what sin is. And so when we sin, when we make a mistake, we should not run from God. And we have to, this is something that, it's really a mental switch that we all really need to begin to have, is that when we make a mistake, our first instinct is to do what Adam and Eve did, right? Our first instinct is to hide, is to run and hide, is to be ashamed, is to, you know, run and cower in the corner. But God is calling us out of hiding. You know, when we make a mistake, we're supposed to run to God in repentance, not run away from Him in shame. And so that's one of the ways that sin really has a hold on so many people, because they think that they've sinned, and so they feel like they shouldn't be able to be in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, rightfully so. If we were in the Old Testament, if we were still living under the old law, then no, you wouldn't be able to be, you know, a part of God's family. Yes, you would be, you know, you would be shunned, and there would have to be some type of sacrifice for you to be made right with God. But Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and so He died so that when you make a mistake, you can actually run to the throne instead of running away from the throne. And so I really don't have a lot of time to go into that lesson again, but I just wanted to bring that up because I noticed a lot of people were re-asking that question, and I just wanted to make sure that that was something that I just went over really quickly in this lesson as well. And that's that when we make a mistake, you know, that it's called the throne of grace for a reason. It's called the throne of grace because that's where we go to obtain mercy and to obtain God's grace. You know, it's unmerited favor. It's not something that we've earned. It's a free gift from the Lord. And so we go there and we receive that gift of Him forgiving us for our sin and helping us not to fall into that sin again. Okay. We are going to go on to our first question, our first new question for this week. And this is actually a really good question. And I titled it Living in the Word. And this is a question. One of the things that the enemy doesn't want us to do is to read God's Word. Since meditating and praying are ways to develop real intimacy with God, Satan brings things to try to get us off track. But how can we become consistent with our reading the Word of God, no matter what is going on in our life, trials, stress on the job, etc.? You know, this is a really good question, because a lot of times we forget that Satan knows God's Word better than most Christians do, and he knows the power behind that Word. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God, in Ephesians 6, it talks about how the Word of God is our sword. It is our sword. It's our it's how we fight against the enemy's attacks. So of course he doesn't want us to learn the Word. Of course he doesn't want us to study the Word and meditate on it and allow it to become a part of who we are. Another reason that Satan doesn't want us to read the Word is because it's one of the ways that God speaks to us as individuals. You know, many people are always asking, you know, how can I hear the voice of God? How can I hear the voice of God? But they haven't stopped to hear and read and meditate on and receive all the things that He's already said, you know, all the promises that He's already made to us. And many times that's because, as I've said before, you know, those of you who are in the School of the Spirit, you've heard me say this many, many times, but are you looking at the Bible as a love letter or a rule book? And so what Satan wants us to do is he wants us to look at it as a rule book. And when we look at it as a rule book, it becomes a chore. It becomes a chore to sit down and read the rule book. It becomes a chore versus an opportunity to relax, you know, in a place to go for peace and joy. It becomes a chore. It becomes a duty. It becomes something else, some type of obligation. And, of course, that's not what God wants. But you know, one of the first things that I recommend to everyone, if you're having, you know, if you're trying to get into the Word and you're just really struggling with, you know, making a commitment to study God's Word, the first thing that I would say is don't beat yourself up over it. You know, don't beat yourself up over it. Why do I say that? Because when we beat ourselves up over not studying God's Word, what happens is that we go back into that self-condemnation. We go back into, you know, feeling bad about ourselves. You know, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, you know, I'm such a bad Christian. Oh, and, you know, we get all these negative self-talk things going. I'm such a bad Christian. You know, I'm not good enough. Why would God ever bless me? Oh, I can't eat. We try to pray. Oh, I shouldn't pray that. God's not going to answer my prayer because I'm just not a good Christian. And, you know, we get all of this negative self-talk going because we're beating ourselves up because we don't feel like we're living up to the standard. And, you know, the issue is that we're trying to live up to the standard on our own. And one of the things that I would really suggest for people who are struggling in this area is to go to God and repent. You know, be honest. That's one of the key things that's missing in most people's relationship with God, and that's honesty. You know, most of us are just not real with God. We don't go to him and just be real with him and say, you know what, Lord, I know I should read the Word more, and I haven't been reading the Word more, and I repent. You know, I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. You know, please remind me to pick up my Bible. Please help me. I just need your help. I need your strength. I need your discipline. And, you know, when you're honest with God and you go to him instead of hiding it from him, you know, he already knows that you haven't been reading your Bible. But when you go to him and you talk to him about it, there's a sense of peace that you begin to receive because you realize, oh, but he still loves me and he's still here for me and he's going to help me. He's going to help me to do better. And, you know, that's one of the things that he's really waiting for us to do, is to just start being real with him. You will develop an amazing relationship with God when you learn how to move out of religion and into relationships. So many of us are bound by religion, and we feel like, okay, I have this list of things that I'm supposed to do. Okay, now I make out my list, and I just go through and check the things off of the list. Okay, I've read my Bible, check. I've prayed, check. I went to church, check. I went to Bible study, check. And so we feel like we have to fulfill all of these obligations in order for God to love us. And we feel like we can't go to him unless we fulfilled all these obligations. And that's not, you know, there is no checklist in the Word of God where it says you have to fulfill all of these different obligations or, you know, God's going to kick you out of the family, okay? But many of us have, especially if we've gone to a church that has been very religion-based and not very relationship-based, we have these misconceived ideas about having a relationship with God and what our relationship with God is based on. And so I would really recommend if you're having issues in that area in terms of reading God's Word, go to him and tell him that you're having that problem and repent. You know, repent. What does repentance really mean? Repentance means a change of heart and a change of mind. It means a change of heart. It means an actual change. It doesn't just mean something you say with your mouth. It means a change of heart and a change of mind, a turning of directions. And so when you repent, you go to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I want to commit to you. And see, many of us aren't going to do that because we don't really want to make that commitment. We're scared to make that commitment because we feel like it's going to be too big. It's going to be too much. You know, our schedules are just too full. But you know what I would recommend you do is to really set a schedule. And, you know, I actually made a video, and I'm going to talk to you guys about this in a second. I made a little video for you guys. But one of the things that I say in the video is if you take 30 minutes a week for a year, just 30 minutes, you know what, I'm gonna spend 30 minutes studying my Bible a week. That's hardly nothing. You know, you can do that 10 minutes 3 days a week. You can do it all 30 minutes on Saturday morning. However you decide to do it, 30 minutes a week, at the end of a year, that's 26 hours that you've spent in the Word of God. Do you know how many breakthroughs you can get in 26 hours? Do you know how many bondages you can get lifted off of you in 26 hours of just being in God's Word and allowing His Word to wash over you? And It's just that little commitment. You know, many times we don't make that little commitment because we feel like in order for it to matter, it has to be some huge amount of time. But really, it doesn't. It can be just a small amount of time. You know, we have to be willing to ask God for help. Ask Him to help us set that schedule. Ask Him, you know, Lord, how can I fit this in? Because this is really important to me, and I want to build my life around You. I don't want to try to fit You into my life. And so, Lord, can You show me in my schedule? Because I know You've meant, you know, if I'm doing the things You called me to do, then my schedule has room for You. Because I know You wouldn't give me a schedule that doesn't have room for You. So can You show me where my Bible study time is, because I don't see it right now. You know, I've had to do that before. Lord, I don't see in the schedule that You have created for me where You fit in. I mean, where do I get my time alone with You? And I've actually had to ask Him and just get quiet and have Him say, it goes right here. It goes right here from this time to this time. That's my time. And then I'm able to say, oh, good, because I sure couldn't figure that out on my own. You know, sometimes we give ourselves way too much credit. We think that, you know, we think that we are smart enough to figure out certain things on our own, and we think since we haven't figured it out that it can't be figured out. When in all actuality, God already has the perfect time. He knows exactly what time you should study the Bible, how long you can do it for, what's a good place for you to do it. I mean, He has the answers for all of these questions. But many times we're so busy that we never slow down to ask, you know. One of the, you know, I'm talking about getting real with God, we really have to get real with ourselves as well. We have to realize that we're not as strong as we think we are. And we really can't afford not to study God's Word. We really can't afford not to spend that time in His promises. You know, when something comes up and a family member is sick, you know, my husband, our sister, my husband's sister, actually, so my sister-in-law, and some of you know this who've been a part of the hymn for a long time, our family members, it was my mother-in-law and just a lot of, probably about 7 people, were in a really bad car accident a few months ago. I mean, very, 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 very bad car accident. And praise God, everyone right now is doing fine. You know, they're doing much better than the doctors ever expected. You know, people who were supposed to have had broken spines ended up, oh, no, I guess it's not broken. I mean, just miracle after miracle after miracle, God was just showing out. And, you know, it was good that we didn't wait until then to start studying God's Word. You know, if we would have waited until then, we wouldn't have had any promises to stand on. We would have been scurrying trying to find promises. But we knew what our promises were. And, you know, our sister had to have a surgery 2 days ago from the accident. And she knew she was going to have a surgery. You know, we were all praying over it because, and the doctor was saying one thing, and we're like, no, we're not believing for that. We're believing that there's just something on the nerve and that, you know, once he's able to get that off the nerve, then the arm will start working, you know, it'll be working perfectly. And the doctor's like, oh, you know, that's probably not the case. It's probably a severed nerve and all these different things. Well, we prayed. She had the operation. There were no severed nerves, just some a little scar tissue on the nerve. He took the scar tissue off. He's like, oh, the nerves are reconnecting already. Things are working already. Hallelujah, praise God. You know, she's a doctor. She needs both of her hands. Praise the Lord. And, you know, she, even though she has the doctor's background and she has all the knowledge and the logic, she stood on faith that she was going to be okay. And you have to know God's Word before tragedy strikes. You know, you have to know God's Word beforehand. And a lot of times we don't recognize our dependence upon God. We don't recognize our need for His Word. You know, we don't recognize how dependent we are upon His Word. And a lot of times we look at our lives and our lives look so chaotic and so out of control. And that's because we haven't taken the time to study. That's because we haven't taken the time to really dig into His Word and to find out what His promises are about different situations. You know, there are many people that are looking at their children and thinking their children are out of control. And so they're so busy trying to fix their children that they're like, you know, I don't have time to study God's Word. They're so busy trying to fix their marriage. Oh, I don't have time to study God's Word. And what they don't realize is that the reason that their life is out of whack is because their spiritual life is out of balance. And, you know, a lot of times we don't even think about the fact that not studying God's Word and not making that a priority in our life is really a sense of pride. It's really a sign of pride. Because if we knew how much we really needed God's help in our daily lives, we'd be running to that Bible. And so I really want us to stop and think about that. Not taking the time to study is really it's a form of pride. It's a form of us thinking that we can do it all on our own. You know, if we really knew how dependent we were upon God, if we really knew and understood the difference it would make in our lives if we just focused more on Him, we will be running to the Word of God. You know, many times, as I said before, we don't study because we have the wrong ideas about why we're studying. We don't study. I'm going to say that again. Many times, we don't study because we have the wrong ideas about why we're studying. And like I said before, it becomes a chore. It becomes something on a to-do list. It becomes, you know, I have to read the rule book. I have to go through, and, you know, I'm just going to memorize all the scripture. Well, are you meditating on it? Are you putting it in your heart, or are you just memorizing it so that you can feel like you know a whole lot of scripture? You know, there's a difference between religion and relationship. And many of us are so stuck, you know, that religion is just so ground into our minds that we don't realize that we're doing things for the wrong reasons.